Hello, and welcome to Maximal Fire. I'm Alex.
And I'm Johnny.
And today we're talking The Great Slaughter, Beachheads, and a sneaky rules leak for a sneaky Titan. Well, Johnny, it's been, I think, nearly 2 months since our last podcast. We have been lacking, but it has been the new year, and it has been a bit busy here at Maximal Fire HQ.
Yeah, we've definitely not been idle.
This is only the second podcast, of course, this year, but if you do check out our YouTube channel, you'll see that we've been dropping other videos as well. We dropped a Getting Started with Adeptus Titanicus in 2024 video. So if you are looking to sort of start playing AT specifically and want to know what is the best way into the game, check out that video. I'll stick a card up in the top. And I also had an opportunity to sit down with Rob Medwell of Medders Miniatures. And we had a little interview talking about commission painting, which was quite fun. So although I've not seen your face quite so much in the last couple of months, it's not like we've been idle.
No, not at all.
But we have had an excuse. We've had excuses, haven't we? We've had good excuses.
We are so back now. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Until old age catches us up.
That's it.
But obviously, if you do like hearing from us and hearing the dulcet ASMR tones of Johnny's voice, then do remember to give us a subscribe on YouTube, give us a follow on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to this particular podcast on. But like I said, we don't just do podcasts. We do also do other videos, and that content is exclusively available on YouTube. So if you want to see a bit more, I mean, primarily at the moment, it's very focused on Adeptus Titanicus, but we're slowly rolling out new Legions Imperialis features, and we're hoping to kind of bring a bit more to that as we kind of go on. It's they still haven't quite recovered, have they, with this release schedule problem?
We really thought that now that the tap had been, you know, turned, the releases would be unleashed and we'd just, you know, get a string of them in a row. But we've only just about gotten our first proper release since the box.
Oh yeah, it's the second wave, isn't it? But even that second wave, we're still missing quite a bit that was kind of hinted at sort of back last year, which is a bit frustrating. I know certainly for any Adeptus Titanicus players out there, the biggest frustration is the fact that it's sort of dried up a little bit on the Titan availability side of things. Like, I think Warbreakers, GW definitely wouldn't be selling a Warbreaker. Warbringers, you basically can't get hold of at the moment. I don't even think they've been announced to be reboxed yet. But there's that Maniple box that they were talking about last year. That's not materialized yet.
I would very much like that box to materialize.
it would be very useful. And I think, considering as well that the AT starter set, it came out again, there was a flurry of them available again, and now it's kind of everyone snatched them up, I think, and they're now back out of stock in most places.
I mean, it's a good thing that people are still super hyped about Titans and Titanicus.
But it'd be nice to see the new Warhound sculpts available separately. They still need a release, don't they? Like I say, the Warbringer needs a release. Did they re-release the regular Warhounds? I don't think they did yet, did they? I think to be re-released in the new Legions Imperialis format as well. So,
I would assume that the new regular Warhounds would come with that additional weapons brew, maybe.
I'm not convinced they're going to do it like that. I think
really.
Well, you think about how they've done it for like the Warlord and the Reaver up until now. Like, they've had two very separate boxes for two different sets of weapons. So I think we're going to see that. I think that's going to be the model. You'll have a box set which will have traditional plasma blast gun, Vulcan Mega Bolter, all of that kind of stuff, and then you'll have the other box, which is going to be the melter and the shudder and swarmers and all of that kind of stuff, and two options to choose for. It would also, of course, give you a reason to buy if you are like into your Titans. The, you know, you just go out and buy starter boxes, don't you? Because that's how you get Warhounds and Reavers. But if you've got another option of a different box which has got the missiles, then you, you know, you're more likely to buy that separate box. Whereas up until now, I probably wouldn't have bothered buying a separate box of Warhounds.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I have hope. I mean, you know, the sprue is actually pretty generous with what you get on it anyway. I was quite surprised the amount of guns that came from it. So,
I've been quite lucky
for them. You know, nobody wants, you know, or very few people want like 5 Ursus Claws.
Yeah. Well, unless you're Ordax.
Unless you're Ordax, exactly.
Yeah, I've been quite fortunate that I've been sat on a pile of potential for AT for quite some time. So I've decided I'm going to start a new Legio. And just went through my pile and I was like, there's 4 Reavers and there's 5 Warhounds. And
I'm so jealous.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, I bought some more Warhounds off of a guy who was splitting his box at Entoyment, and he left them at Entoyment for me, and I forgot to pick them up when I was last there. So, I know. More Warhounds available for me.
Recover them for you.
The good thing is, though, I guess, there's lots of people at the moment who are splitting boxes, so if you want like Warhounds and stuff, you can just go and on eBay, and you probably won't pick them up for cheap, but you'll probably pick them up for maybe a little bit less than you would pay buying a new box of stuff.
Yeah, the average LI player is probably not going to want more than 2 if they care, you know, if they're all about little Marines.
They might not, but it depends on what mileage they're going to get out of a certain supplement, which we're going to be talking about later on. So, yeah, we're going to be sort of as the releases come out, as we kind of catch back up again with Legions Imperialis, we'll be bringing more content on that. We've also got a load of planned shorts for AT planned as well. I did an unboxing. I recorded an unboxing the other day, which will probably be released after this video, which was... Luckily, I had in my pile of potential a completely unboxed Warlord with plasma, and I bought one of the new Legions Imperialis Warlords with plasma. So I had an identical box, 2 identical boxes, but one Legions Imperialis branded and one AT branded. And I've done an unboxing to show you the differences, what you get in each one, and there is some differences. So I think it'll be another useful little video, just in case you see certain things online, you want to know what's the reason for me to go out and buy the new Legions Imperialis one over picking up another one online or something for the old AT. So, yeah. Because it's been a minute, though, we owe a few patron shout-outs. So I'm going to kick off today with saying a big thank you to our latest patrons. Miles Cheverton, Another Alfarius, RG Bilton, Simon Robinson, Simon Williams, 20 Pence, and Arnold Agan. Thank you so much for supporting us, guys. It's really, really appreciated. And I think that some of these people have probably joined us as a result of a new patron perk that we've dropped and opened up to any of our patrons. And now that we're selling our own event tickets through Eventbrite, we've got a little bit more control over things like voucher codes and stuff like that. So we not only are offering our patrons early access to the event tickets that we run, they will have like a whole week advance notice before they go on general release, but any patron as well gets 10% off an event ticket price that they order with us. So another reason to sign up to Maximal Fire and help support us in the ways that you do.
Hell yeah. Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we talk some Legions Imperialis first?
Go on then. Oh,
this is what the people want, it seems. This is this is what's driving our numbers at the moment, which is
great.
Yeah, hell
yeah.
So this weekend is release weekend for Wave 2 of Legions Imperialis. So they have dropped the Great Slaughter book, the Great Slaughter army cards, Spartans for Astartes, as well as the Astartes support box, and then the Solar Auxilia support box, and the Malkador, Infernus, and Valdors box sets. And yeah, like I say, it's a long time coming, but I think that it's kind of much needed sort of reinforcements to many Legions Imperialis player out there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's very kind of tailored playstyles in those boxes as well, which I guess is a plus and a negative, but can't wait to receive mine. I forgot I didn't set it for delivery either, so I'm going to have to posh up to Entoyment tomorrow fetch it. Yeah.
Well, you can go pick up my Warhounds for me.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep them safe for you.
The other hand, I have managed to get my book, and I've got my cards. So I have had a little bit of a look through this. I know I've not been able to share all of this with you so far. So I will mostly be giving my thoughts, I guess, on this, and you'll get the glory of going through this yourself.
I'll be one of the listeners. Yeah.
To be honest, probably sling that over to you at some point if it's going to be too much longer. but yeah, no, like things like I think it's the garrison formation. You just couldn't do with the existing releases. So now, you know, having things like the Leviathan Dreadnoughts, the Dorado Dreadnoughts, and the Tarantulas, like they've opened up those possibilities for an additional formation for the Space Marines, which is good. And especially as an Imperial Fist player, I kind of see probably the Garrison Force is probably going to be something which I'm going to be playing rather than the Demi Company quite a bit, just because it's quite stereotypical. And it'd be nice as well when you and I finally sit down for a game between us, mm-hmm. we won't just be throwing two identical formations at each other with different detachments. We'll have something a bit different.
I'm just praying for the drop pod assault detachments to come out with those drop
pods. When's your prediction?
So cool. Oh man,
when are they going to come?
So I mean, every guess I've had so far has been wrong. So it's just like hard to say. I don't know. They're really hard to understand kind of their logic at the moment. Usually GW, they're quite obvious with what they're doing. And you can kind of guess what's going to come up next pretty well. But I feel like they're just at a mad scramble to kind of recover. They're in like a disaster recovery mode at the moment with everything that went on over Christmas.
But then they've had some really noticeable kind of weird gaps in their release schedule as well. And like a couple of weeks back, there was like the announcement, I think it was the Black Library week, and it was a few books, nothing else. And it was like, well, surely could have, that was the perfect
something
spot
in the warehouse, right? Like, come on. They're obviously built. They're built months ahead.
I think we'll start seeing something a bit more towards the end of March. I think that's when we'll get the next tease. And obviously we're on these 2-week pre-order cycles now, aren't we? So, I think towards the end of March, we might see the drop pods. We might see the javelins and speeders and outriders and all of that kind of stuff come around about then.
Yeah, hell yeah. You'll start your white scars at that point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think I'm going to, because of the way that you can do, you can have any number of Space Marine Legios within one overall force. You don't have to have the 30% rule because they're still Astartes technically. I think I'm definitely going to go back to do a detachment of Scars. I've got some spare Tactical Marines as well. So I don't really need a ton more Tactical Marines for Imperial Fists, but I've got a White Scars Thunderhawk painted up already, and so I'm thinking like the Airborne, I forgot the name of the formation now, the one which is the Thunderhawks and Xiphons and Tactical Marines all being embarked in a in the Thunderhawk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the book to hand now. I forget the name of it.
Aerial Assault. Aerial Assault. Or something.
Yeah, I think it's Aerial Assault
Force, right? Yeah.
I think it's that.
It's the one with the planes. It's the most fucking obvious one in that book.
Yeah. And after playing a few games of ATE, Xiphons are OP. And I think, Marauders are basically, planes have been quite OP. Now, whether or not we see a leveling of the playing field now that we've got, Tarantulas and we've got things like the Dorados who have got Skyfire on them, it may well kind of be the balance to the mass blobs of fighters that I've personally seen anyway up until now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But had chance. Sorry, mate, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, eventually you're going to end up with an entire wall defense force, and I'll have World Eaters and Word Bearers and Night Lords as the... Then we'll do a huge Siege of Terror. We'll get a massive fucking wall. And that'll be a hell of a bat rep.
Well, it gives me an excuse, doesn't it, to finish painting and building the wall I've been doing for from Troublemaker Games. I'm going to sneeze.
Bless him. Are you good? You've just frozen on my screen, so it's kind of quite a bit of comedic effect.
I hate it. Absolutely hate it when you're on the cusp of a sneeze, and then it just doesn't materialize. It's such a tease.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What is it they say? It's like 1/10 an orgasm or something. A sneeze. Yeah.
Sure.
I've got to take them. Take them as and when I can.
Yeah.
Which probably actually is probably a good time to mention on the subject of orgasms. I'm very kind of excited and happy to announce that I'm expecting my second child.
What a way to announce it, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we go out with style, don't we? So yeah. Well, August we're gonna thank you very much, mate. August is when he or she arrives. And I'm either going to have no time for toys or loads of time for toys. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it's the latter because I get 16 weeks of off work as part of my paternity, which is very, very nice. But anyway, tangent aside, let's talk Legions Imperialis and let's stop talking about nasal orgasms.
Yeah,
absolutely. Maybe that should be the name of the show, episode 32, nasal orgasms.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we've ever said the word orgasm so many times on this podcast.
I don't think we've ever said it on this podcast. Wow. There's the demonetization going on.
There we go. It's all right. It wasn't in the first few minutes of the show.
We're good.
Here we have it. It's the sorry for my reflective light. It's very shiny. Great Slaughter, the first expansion to Legions Imperialis. My first impression of this book was it is very pretty. It's really nicely laid out, and I thought, really, what can they add now to Beta Garmin and Titan Death that we haven't already kind of seen and heard multiple times before? They had the book Titan Death. There was the Titan Death expansion in Adeptus Titanicus. Really, what is there more to talk about? Well, there's tons, and there's stuff like this where there's almost little White Dwarf style battle maps of kind of each of the key battles, and it's been really nice to kind of look through it and just take in all of the nice new imagery and nice new artwork. It's a really good book, really nice book. So impressed with that so far. But obviously the highlight of it is the not only the new formations, but some different game modes. So there is the one that we're obviously excited about, Titan Death, which get me a little bit worried to start with. I was is this going to be taking over from AT, and is this a nail in AT's coffin? And having read it, very much no. It looks like a kind of halfway house, really, between AT and Legions Imperialis. They're not quite as dumbed down Titans in, as in they are in the Legion Superior space game, there's a little bit more going on to them. Like, you know, they can split fire and, you know, the points costs are balanced a bit more depending on how many engine killer weapons that they have. But it does allow you to field like 10 plus Titans on the table at any one point and play the game inside of a normal game. Because if you played at an AT, right, we'd be talking, if you had 10 Warlords aside, you would probably be talking 5 or 6 hours to play a game.
Yeah, if you knew what you're 100% knew what you're doing.
Yeah, and not to mention the amount of table space you'd need for that many terminals and just to get them on the board. So that's cool. Like I say, it dumbs in down just enough that, and we've not played one yet, I'm making an assumption here, but based on what I've seen, it seems to dumb it down just enough that there's still some enjoyment about bringing a bunch of Titans and duking it out across the board. But it doesn't invade too much in the beauty, which is Adeptus Titanicus and the rules which they built for that there. So very much looking forward to that. I know we've talked about battle reports, haven't we? And the fact that we haven't done one since last January.
Yeah, damn.
But I think this Titan Death might be a good opportunity for us to do a bat rep in the
future.
Get
the War Masters out, finally.
Yeah, War Masters... I mean, I'm looking behind me at my Lania Scara and how many models I've got in my Lania Scara force. I reckon I could field all of those. But the thing which I wasn't expecting to be excited about, which I've more excited about, I think, than Titan Death, is the campaign rules. Normally, I don't give a shit about that kind of stuff. Like, when the AT one came out, it's like, oh, yeah, nice, that's okay, great. But reading through kind of how they've set out the campaign rules, it's just kind of got me thinking that there isn't a better game to kind of have a real feeling of a proper campaign as Legions Imperialis, because there's no other game out there that you are going to get that same feeling of combined arms warfare with infantry running around the ground, supported by Titans, aircraft flying overhead. Like, I think that this is possibly like the perfect game for a big map based battle, more so than like AT or any of those other ones. And the rules that they've presented, they've presented like two different ways of doing campaigns. One which is called a Warfront campaign, and that's like your sort of more round robin style campaign, where you play everybody in turn, you count up the number of victors, and then it's, you know, whoever has got the most victories, their side wins. And then there's the Conquest campaign, which is a map-based campaign. And
map-based campaigns for war.
Yeah, they've actually given some thought into this as well. Like, the Warfront campaign, I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. It seems good. Like, you know, you can get, like, in both, they've got this concept of requisition points. So you can accumulate through various means requisition points, and that's kind of marked on your campaign roster. And you gonna say something?
I was gonna say, is it kind of like Path to Glory, you know, where you start with a smaller force and can earn a larger force, or is it?
No, not quite. Although that might be how we're going to do our local campaign when we get this up and running, just so people can build into it. No, requisition points are, you can literally spend points to add one detachment to your force. So if you're playing 2,000 points, for instance, I think the cap is, I believe it's 300 points. So it's not quite enough to field a Titan. But you can go, okay, we're paying 2,000 points. I'm going to spend all 300 of my points to add 300 additional points worth of requisitioned, I don't know, Spartans or Kratos into my force. Those points are obviously not accurate, but you get the general gist of it. But then when you've spent them, they're gone, and the only way that you can get more of them is by earning them. And there's different ways that you can earn it based on if you're playing in a Warfront campaign or if you're playing in a Conquest campaign. So I quite like that. That's always been something which I've always like. I've always liked the idea of a campaign where you have a total set roster which can be depleted and needs to be reinforced at certain points in the campaign. So losses mean something, but it's not quite that. But it means that if you know you're up against a tough opponent and you've saved up some requisition points, you can throw in an extra few bits which might give you a bit of an edge, but then you can't use them again later.
Yeah.
In the campaign. So I really like that. But the Conquest campaign, like I said, in particular, because it's that map-based style, it just looks a little bit more interesting. And they've got the, in here, there's the, they give you the map for the Battle of, is it Nyakon? I can never pronounce it.
Nyakon City.
However you want to pronounce it, yeah.
Yeah,
let me get it up. I'll show you.
One of my biggest regrets is, in wargaming is not buying the Planetary or Mighty Empires tile kits.
I had it, and I left it in my mate's garage, and I have no idea where it went. I may have even, when I was off Games Workshop for a while, chucked it in the bin.
Jesus Christ, Alex.
I know. I searched high and dry for it, like high and low even. High and dry. I searched high and low for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I was like, shit, did I actually throw this away? And I had like this sort of like suppressed feeling or possible memory that I did, because I had like 10 years where I was completely off the hobby, was never going to go back to it, and this was just a random map which was doing nothing.
Hmm.
But yeah, never been able to find it again since. But yeah, perfect. Although, of course, what we could do is there is the hex-based maps that Grimdark Terrain do. They've got an STL kit for it, so this might be another opportunity.
Put it in a frame,
yeah,
and then have it for the bring it down every evening that we do it. Oh,
yeah,
God, it'd be so sick, wouldn't it?
But on the map campaigns as well, you've got these. Which are like, this is just two of the pages of them, but each particular tile is named something, and each tile does something slightly different. So to give you an example, which was the one I found, which was the one which had the Militarum Aerodrome. So if you take that, then... or if you hold it, it's worth 2 campaign points. You've got to get like 120 campaign points or something to win the campaign. And holding it gives you 15 requisition points. That's another way you get the requisition points. But normally you have to attack or defend a location which is next to where you are. For obvious reasons, you have to move into it. But one of the special rules that the Military Aerodrome gives you is you can invade, so you can't defend, but you can invade any territory on the map rather than just one adjacent to you.
Hell yeah.
It kind of just gives you that little sort of additional ability. It gives you reasons to fight over these things. Like Hive cities, they allow you to deploy obstacles, like up to, I think it's like 3 obstacles in your deployment zone. So you get like additional cover. Some of them holding, is it the industrial wasteland is only worth 1 campaign point, but if you've got a manufacturer complex as well, it's worth 2. So they kind of like stack depending on if you hold more.
Sounds so damn cool. This.
Yeah. Like I say, it got me immediately kind of excited for running a campaign, which I've not had in a long time. And there's additional missions in here as well. So like if you're attacking a spaceport, for instance, there's a specific mission for it. If you're attacking a bastion, like a military bastion, there's another one for that. It's called Strong Point Defense. And then there's other kind of rules for expansions and just cool shit, really. It's, yeah. And like I said, I think that the reason I've got so excited about this is because of just how well it kind of lends itself as a game to this kind of thing. But yeah, and then obviously on top of the Titan death scenarios and rules, you've got the new formations and detachments. So the new formations, you've got the Sky Hunter Phalanx, which was the one that we knew was coming, which was in the White Dwarf article, which has got like the it's all speeders and siphons and jet bikes and outriders and stuff, which is quite cool. But most importantly, I think if you're a Solar Auxilia player, you've now finally got a few more options. You've got the Artillery Company and the Mechanized Infantry sub-cohort. I think that one of the biggest criticisms at launch was that Solar Auxilia really kind of lacked that mechanized infantry model that you can get with the Astartes and the Rhinos. But the, what they call the Dracozan definitely seem like a, they're more expensive than Rhinos, but they're quite a bit nicer. So I think the mechanized infantry sub cohort is going to be good. And I read the Goonhammer article as well, and they were talking about the Auxilia Artillery Company. And I think from their analysis, I've not reached my own conclusion on this yet, but it seems like there is the potential that that particular formation might be a little bit rude.
Yeah, a little bit strong.
Yeah, in particular, I think the problems are with the Basilisks, which are quite significantly gnarly. So it's looking like kind of quite a lot of people are considering limiting those types of formations to maybe one per force, rather than, you know, letting people have. I think there's a concern that when those Medusas and Basilisks drop, that's literally all you're going to see of those. But we'll see. Obviously, I've not played against them yet, you know, and at this point, I think a lot of it is all theoretical stuff. So, yeah, I got the cards as well. I don't know where I've put the cards. I was a little bit disappointed with how thin.
Oh, man.
they are.
What is that?
Yeah, what considering that? What a, like, grab they were on the day. All the trouble. 22 cards at £12.50.
Jesus.
So, I'm not good at maths, but that's quite that's quite expensive per card. What's that? £12.50.
You're reaching divided by 22 prices at this
56p
point.
A card. 56p a card. But it's just the additional cards. It's obviously both Auxilia and Astartes, but it's all of the new units which are in there. Still no Titan cards, detachment cards, and anything, which is a little bit disappointing because there's lots of rules for the Titans.
Really fucking weird about the Titan death release is that they didn't release any fucking Rebox Titan cards or Titan terminals or anything to do with fucking Titans on their Titan release.
I really expected the Direwolves to drop with the pre-order.
Something.
Yeah. But this is what makes me think that the plastic Direwolves are going to be, they're going to be next. They're probably going to be, I don't know, like I say, end of March was my prediction, right?
I reckon throughout this month as well, I reckon we'll see some, quite a few releases probably on that
front. I hope so. And don't forget as well that we've still not had individual releases for Predators, Lehman Russes, Malkadors, although there's been a few leaked boxes appearing on the internet, hasn't there? I think there was a Lehman Russ box which appeared out of nowhere that somebody managed to get hold of.
That's a while ago as well, that one was found.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be... there's still so much backlog. I'm kind of glad that we're getting a bit of a break because A, I would have too much stuff in my pile to paint up, but B, my wallet as well can recover slightly in between sessions.
Yeah. Painting ally isn't, you know, the best at times, so it's nice to have some breaks in between sets, I guess.
I underestimated how easy it was going to be to paint mm-hmm. Legions Imperialis, I think.
Yep, same here.
I was like, it'll take me a few seconds, you know, like maybe a couple of minutes per model.
Oh, it's just a layer of contrast paint and a black wash, right? Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Well, I worked out, right?
I was.
it might take you 30 seconds to paint a Bolter black. Times that by 200.
Yeah.
And then that's the time it takes just for painting Bolters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think having gone from the big titans of AT to going down and painting tiny, tiny Marines, I am struggling a little bit with the hobby enthusiasm for painting such tiny models. But when they are out on the table, it does look really nice.
Yeah.
It does look good. Yeah. So with all of that in mind and having digested all of that information I've imparted on you, Johnny Eaves,
mm-hmm.
Has any of that influenced a certain narrative event that we're going to be running in April?
Oh, no.
No, because we're not going back to the pack. It's written.
The
I'm
pack
not
is,
buggering about with it now.
We're doing a narrative event for Legions Imperialis. As of this, it's already sold out, so maybe we might be able to get more places, but it's not certain yet, for sure. It is set in the Corsair Cluster, which is Legio Maximal's home territory. And it's kind of late war Horus Heresy. Got some cool storylines running in the background. We've made some cool custom missions. And there's going to be like random effects that happen midway through the missions that you only find out about during, you know, said mission. So there's going to be some really cool interactive elements. With the event pack, we've only released the first mission as well. So keep the other ones a bit mysterious. It's a narrative event, you know. You don't want to take it too seriously.
Well, people are already playing the missions, aren't they? So it's a good job we did hold a couple of things back, and we've been a little bit kind of mysterious over certain things and how and what they do on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so cool hearing that people are playing the first mission. And glad to, from what it sounds like, it's all right. It's not bad.
Yeah.
So we
opted for a slightly smaller game, didn't we? Because we took the lead of Games Workshop, who they did they're selling a 1-day event. I think it's in April or May.
Mm-hmm.
3 games, 1 day, 1500 points. So we opted to do the same, obviously at the same time being that there wasn't a great deal of variety out there. At the point where we were dropping the tickets. So it's kept quite small, but it's...
Mm, it's quite strange having to set up an event and keeping stock levels and what they've actually released for the game and bits like that, you know, in mind when, you know, we've been running events for a seasoned game with a load of releases and rules updates and community.
Yeah, a very matured game, isn't it?
Very matured game. This is fresh and it brings a lot of very... very interesting challenges.
All I was saying is that we've shrunk it down to a 4x4, mm-hmm. Which helps us with the amount of mats that we can bring to the table as well. But yeah, how I've been kind of selling this, and hopefully I've not oversold this to people.
Oh, please don't.
Is it's like a legacy game, but Legions Imperialis. Like, if you've ever played any of those legacy board games, I think what we've tried to do with this is there will be sealed envelopes and cards on people's tables with a big like open on turn three, and sort of as the guys are playing, they'll be opening envelopes and things are going to be happening and reacting to the board, just to add a little bit more kind of excitement to the day. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Hell yeah, absolutely. We're gonna get the pack once we've had a couple of FAQs a bit closer to the event. We're going to get it professionally printed as well. So people that are going have a nice little keepsake, and then from at some point we will make the entirety of the rules pack and the mystery events published on the internet, so people can have a go of them. But yeah, no, it's going to be, I think,
run their own events as well.
Run their own events. Same thing. Yeah, exactly.
We've always had that idea, haven't we, that we'd quite like to do kind of like a global narrative event. Mm-hmm. So I think this is like our first stage of doing that. And something else that we've been talking is if this goes off well, you know, this will be three missions. We will string a couple of these events together, mm-hmm. continue to expand the story, and have, you know, maybe release like 9 or 12 linked missions as kind of like a campaign pack, mm-hmm. I guess you would say, that would be available to people to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of like the big things that I was trying to go for when writing the pack and the events and stuff like that go on during the game, is that I want game to game, whichever side. So the player base is split up between loyalists and traitors. And if we have a overall loyalist or traitor victory, the subsequent round will be affected in some way by that, usually to the benefit of the victors of the previous round and to the detriment of the losers as an allegiance. And then from that, hopefully, yeah, like Alex was saying, event to event will have effects from the previous event, shaping the narrative of the next event as well. So yeah, real exciting stuff. It's gonna be a good time.
We're in a bit of a weird situation, aren't we? Because like normally we come onto these podcasts and like we talk about these events and we're like, you know, tickets are available now and like, you know, please pick them up. But we were quite fortunate enough really that within maybe 2 weeks of us releasing the tickets, like they'd all gone.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. But if you are watching this and you're a bit disappointed to find out about this now and you wish you'd had the opportunity to see it and maybe you didn't see the initial posts on our social media, then I'd say obviously follow us on social media on Instagram and Facebook. But the best place to get all of the information about this is on our Discord server. Mm-hmm. We've got a separate channel on that devoted purely to this up-and-coming narrative event. Mm-hmm. And obviously the first place, like I said at the beginning, is going to be on our Patreon channel. So if you would like to come to more of it or some of our events in the future, they're probably your best places to find out the news first, because we do a little bit of a hierarchy. You know, patrons first, Discord second, and then socials third. So mm-hmm. if you want to be there and avoid disappointment, join our Discord server at a minimum. And yeah, next time hopefully you'll be able to get some more tickets. But like I said, we might add a few more.
Maybe it all depends. Mm-hmm.
I think we've got room for maybe an additional potential 2 tables if we needed them, so add another 4 spaces. But we also need to do an audit of our terrain, mm-hmm. to make sure that we have enough, because all of the terrain is supplied by ourselves, bought by ourselves, painted by ourselves. So it's a lot.
Yeah, no doubt we'll have a reserve list anyway as well. So for people that want to, you know, stay ready just in case we have any dropouts, we'll at least have something like that going on.
Yeah, I believe you can actually list yourself on the wait list on mm-hmm. Eventbrite. So on the Eventbrite ticket, if you want to wait list yourself, I believe there should be an option to do so.
Yeah, stick yourself on it, because if we see that a few people are on the wait list, obviously that's a good indicator for us of, you know, people want to, you know, let's try and actually make these extra tables work, because we've got people that want tickets. But yeah, even if you didn't manage to get tickets, when the mission pack is more widely available, been a bit more updated, feel free to play the games. Let me know how you're finding them, those that are already playing them as well. And yeah, we get this thing updated. We want this to kind of be a living document, at least up until the event and a couple of FAQs afterwards. But yeah, that's going to be it's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about another event that we ran shortly, but we hinted at the beginning that we've, you know, some news has kind of come across our desk from the wider world in the form of a little bit of a cheeky leak. And I guess it's a bit of a weird one, this one, isn't it? Because like normally when you see these things, it's, you know, things aren't really kind of, there's people talking about it, but nobody's got any hard evidence. But somebody somehow has managed to get hold of four of the Adeptus Titanus, well, not the plastic direwolf kits, the new plastic direwolf kits. So if you've been on the Facebook 2018 page, you've probably seen images of these boxes out in the wild, which, considering that they haven't even discussed when these are going to be released, is a bit strange that these are turning up like in the wild. I maybe they've dropped off the back of a wagon or something, and somebody's jumped on eBay and flogged them for however much. I was considering buying some, but when they were up past like 120 quid, I was like, no, all right, I'll wait. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not worth it. I wonder if it's the situation where it's happened in the past before, or not really recently, but where GW accidentally or maybe purposefully send out a unreleased product in someone's order instead of their actual order. Because they've done it, it's happened in the past.
If they want to do that to me, I'm perfectly happy if that happens to me.
Send
GW,
it
I won't say anything.
Yeah, maybe the person that got it was like, oh, I better not, you know, say where I got it from, whatever, in case they try and recall it, or, you know. So. Yeah.
But I mean, for a lot of people, like, it's cool to see the models out in the wild. Obviously, this has got something which the old ones didn't have, in that they are a little bit more dynamically posed, which is nice to see. But they also were advertised with a conversion beamer on the top. Now, all of this information for Legionis Imperialis is already published. It's in the original rulebook. However, the one key piece of information which I was most interested about was, what does that mean for Adeptus Titanicus? Now, we know that with the new box sets that they are releasing, all of the terminals and weapon cards are coming in the pack with the models. So whereas historically you had to buy weapon card packs or terminal packs, now they're shipping them out. Even though it's a Legionis Imperialis box, they're shipping them with the Adeptus Titanicus terminals and cards, which is a seriously good stealth upgrade for AT. Anybody who says that AT is dead, you just have to look at that. They wouldn't do that. It wouldn't go to that much effort with their boxing if that was going to be the case. And it is one of the single best things to happen to AT from a new player perspective, because it removes all of that bullshit around, okay, I don't just need cards. I don't just need the models. I need to go out and find the right weapon cards. Half of the weapon cards, the Ursus Claw and the Natrix Shock Lance, that was a photocopy in a old book which is no longer available, and I think they had a download online. Yeah. You got the shitty little paper things and the Forge World packets. It's just rubbish.
Yeah.
Whereas this feels like a bit more proper support, especially, you know, with the I would anticipate anyway, when the new box of Warhounds come out, that'll have proper cards for all of those Forge World, the Volkite, the Melter, the Shudder Swarmer. Ursus and Natrix will all come on in that box, which is going to be great. No more faffing about with those little pieces of paper, which is bloody awful. But yeah. The rules for the new conversion beamer were teased. Well, not teased. They were proved. They were there for everybody to see. So if you haven't seen it, the Direwolf version of the conversion beamer, which goes on the back instead of a neutron or something, is called the Direwolf Conversion Beamer Dissipator. And it has a short range of 50, short range of 15, long range of 40. It's two dice, so still no blast like on the Asterius. It's two dice. It has draining and maximal fire with strength 9/11. So it sits really nicely in between the Extirpator and the, I forget the name of the Warhound and Reaver version, but the little one and the really big one. It's effectively the same strength as the Warhound and Reaver version, the 9 and 11 at long range. But that mass more fire can push it up to strength 13, strength 11. And a 15-inch short range means that that's pretty good. You're going to be getting strength 11/13 pretty often.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that there's a choice now for a different option on the Direwolf, because the Volcano Cannon was kind of fine, but didn't see a great deal of play over the more popular Neutron Laser.
No. I still worry about the heat build-up.
It's a lot of potential heat build-up.
But yeah, no, I'm down. I'm gonna give it a shot. I want to see what it's like.
I like that it's kind of a risk reward thing here, right? Because you have to announce that you're going maximal fire when you are rolling the dice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't wait and see, oh shit, I've just rolled double heat.
Double one, yeah.
You know, you have to declare that. Mm. So you're going to go, I'm maximal fire, roll the double heat, roll your double one, 4 points of heat. Like, oof. Boom. Very, very, very hot dog. But yeah, the other thing, it doesn't have a, like the other two, they were a plus one at short range.
Mm-hmm.
So they were hitting on a 2+. This doesn't get that. So it's going to be hitting on a 3+ most of the time, which I think is about right.
Yeah.
We have a bit of a historical tendency to get overly excited about new weapons, which turn out to be pretty
mediocre,
unfounded when the weapons are tested.
Yeah. So shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Say nothing else.
Yeah. But yeah. I think this could be quite good. It's got with the Stalker ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get right down a flank.
You're getting in a good range band. Yeah. I like it. I'm not going to say anything else, though. I don't want to jinx it.
I'm sure it's been published, but the one thing I forgot to check was its points and where it sits in the points. And I think that will have a large thing to do with it. What's the little C-beamer? Is that 25 points?
Yeah.
He says quickly pulling up.
Yeah.
I think that's about... And then it's like... Is it 60 points for the big one?
I just realised I'm using my phone to record the video, so I can't check.
Yeah. Quickly, Titan Toolbox. It wouldn't be a Maximal Fire podcast if
we're not doing a Titan Toolbox at some point.
Some guys checking things on the internet. Cheese weapon.
I'm down
25 points for the Dissolator.
Mm.
And Warlord. Ba, 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 ba. Do a dance or something, Johnny, or do, give people watch Dancing Johnny. Yeah, 60 points for the extirpator. I'm not going completely mad.
Okay.
If
you say so.
But yeah, I reckon maybe it will be 35 points.
That's a good.
Like I say, I'm sure it's.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been kind of confirmed at this point, but I don't have the information to hand. But I would be surprised if it was more than 40. But I wonder if Titan Toolbox has got that information off of the internet and updated already.
Thanks, Titan Toolbox. So how's everyone's evening going?
Well, the Neutron Laser's 45 points, right? So, and the Volcano's 25. So I reckon we'll be in that 35 to 40 point bracket, I think. When you consider that the Extirpator is 60 points and it's just 2 strength lower, but everything else is more or less the same.
Yeah, I get that.
I think maybe 40 points will be where it's at. But again, like I said, it's if you know, because you've seen the leak already, put me out of my misery, put it in the thing. I've not seen the physical cards. I've just heard the... I've just seen the confirmation of what's on it. So that the points was something which was omitted. But I think that Direwolves are still going to keep cropping up quite often at events, I think, as a result of this.
Hell yeah. I like seeing them around. They're fun. They're good fun.
Especially when you can get them to charge 26 inches and one shot of Warlord.
Yeah. Might be one of those for some Vulpa, for sure. See if I can make a stupid charge beast.
if you're screaming, how the hell are you able to do that? I will just say Vulpa shenanigans and nonsense.
Yep.
And leave it at that.
They need something. They need something.
Yeah. 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 Very, very cool little build. But yeah, conversion beam dissipator. Again, it's a new weapon. One new weapon that we've got. Well, not one new weapon. Quite a few new weapons actually. In it for AT over the last couple of months. Just sort of that's all it needs to kind of keep AT going and shuffle it up. I'd still like to see some new Titans, please, BW. Like, come on, let's have a rapier now that LI's out. Give Bane us some Lord. New stuff.
Bane Lord kit for the Warlord, please.
Bane Lord kit, that'd be quite cool.
Please. Especially if you're doing Titan Death. Fuck.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine if they actually just released corrupted Titans now?
Oh god. Just like just a
Chaos Titans.
Upgrade sprue. Something, yeah. You know.
I think now that Legions Imperialis is out, right, when you've got that core there, Legions Imperialis more than AT has scope for like the corrupted Titans, right?
Yeah, but they've got so much ground to cover. You know, we've got demons, we've got Mechanicum.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I can see them going Dark Sisters Mech of Silence as well, maybe, or
Primarchs.
Mm. Oh, Primarchs, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. They'll probably just make do with what they've got already.
Yeah, they've got so much ground to cover. And then you've got the special units as well, if they ever, you know, start doing like Cacophony or Catalan Reavers or... Yeah.
Yeah. Please just hurry up with the release schedule. Give us a few more. Like, awesome. Come on, let's have it. People want to give you the money. Like, we're literally asking you to take our money.
Yeah.
And
while you're at it,
you apparently don't want it.
Send it to us a week in advance so we can get review videos out, please.
GW. That'd be all right. Yeah. So the reason that we've been so busy, like while we're on the AT section, the reason we've been so busy is that we were running Beachhead at the start of February. So if you don't know what Beachhead is, it's a big tournament and convention which is run in the south coast of the UK in Bournemouth. And it spans 2 days. There's a massive tournament hall which has everything from bolt action what's the other one called? Name a game. Star Wars Legion.
Yeah, to, like, everything.
Yeah, 40K, Blood Bowl, Age of Sigmar. They do card games as well, X-Wing. Like, everywhere that they can get a table for a tournament, they kind of cram these people in.
Mm-hmm.
And... It's our biggest event of the year. It's always kind of like the highlight of our event season. And once again, we were running Adeptus Titanicus for the community. This year, we had more players again than we've ever had before. We had in total 50 Princeps fighting, which was up slightly from last year. I think we had 46 last year. So 4 more this year than we had previously. And we every year just try and make it just a little bit bigger. And it definitely shows that there's still a lot of demand and a lot of interest in AT as a tournament game. We had people from Finland come over. We had people from Sweden, people from Denmark. I think the Netherlands as well, possibly, as well as like from the top end of the country in England. You know, it's people seem to kind of come from all over to Beachhead. Yeah, and it's always an amazing event. Like, the AT community is always an absolute joy to run games for.
Mm-hmm.
Standard again, very high this year, but we had people of all ages. I think the youngest was 12 who attended, and you know, up to people in their 60s. And yeah, it just shows how kind of inclusive it was, and it is as a game and as a community, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, everyone's so great that it basically runs itself now. It's quite an easy life as the TO while the games are running.
We took the piss a little bit this year though, didn't we?
Yeah, we just walked around the Sellers Hall for hours.
I think that it also helps with the fact that, as well as you and I, we were accompanied by Oliver and Matt, who help pretty much all of our events, and we couldn't do the events that we do without them.
No.
Having two more TOs, in fact, Oliver had to step in and play because we had one guy who, really unfortunately had to, he was here in Bournemouth on the morning of the Saturday, and he got an emergency phone call and had to leave before the tournament on the Saturday morning. So, you know, we were able to put Oliver in as a an emergency player, just to keep the numbers up. So it was a team game again this year. We had sort of not gone for the same format that we did last year when we did last year's team tournament. We really liked the camaraderie of last year's tournament, but we added quite a lot of sort of meta gaming elements into it. Like, you had your team, but it was teams versus team, and everybody between games picked a role, like attacker, defender, or skirmisher, and you played against your opposite number, and each role had a different objective. So it was almost like a little bit narrative-y as well as, you know, a team tournament. And it worked really, really well, but it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare to organize.
God, it really was.
And we would have loved to have done it again, but the moment that you have even one person drop out, you then have to supply at least a person to fill that up. But the worst scenario was having a full team drop out, and that's what happened last year, wasn't it? We had a full team of players drop out, everybody else was in, but that meant that we needed to provide three backup players. We needed to have an entire team to back them up. So this year we went for a team-based traditional tournament, which it was highest-ranked player versus highest-ranked player with cumulative team points, which meant that as long as you had odd numbers, everybody could get a game and all of the teams could score. So Oliver made up the odd number. It was much easier to run. It didn't have quite the same feel. I think people liked being alongside their teammates and being really invested in what all those other teams kind of did last year when you were, you know, all in it together. But it was very difficult to kind of organize that, which is why we didn't do it this year. But I think despite doing that, it was still very successful. I think a lot of people had a lot of fun, and the feedback was great.
Yeah, I don't think the change really. Yeah, no, I think it was still a really solid showing. People were still strategizing to an extent as teams. Obviously, you know, they still had to work out what secondaries they want to play and stuff like that. So there's still a little bit of pre-planning involved in their games themselves as well. So yeah, I think it was really, I thought it was great. It was a great weekend. Really, really good fun. Everyone was amazing.
I think the biggest difference, of course, is when you do it in the more traditional format, you get people of similar skill always playing against each other. Whereas in the version that we did last year, you could end up with two teams fighting off against each other, but there are people of completely different skill level playing against people who are arguably kind of better players than them. So you could end up in a situation where, you know, you had a really inexperienced player playing against a really experienced player who had won all of their games up until that point because of the role that they'd chosen and where their teams currently were at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least in this format, there was that kind of grading of, you know, the people at the top were challenged by other people at the top, and the people at, you know, at the bottom were still having a great time, but they weren't just being curb stomped by some guy with a filthy list.
We say no names.
But no, it was really good. Obviously, like, if anybody is out there looking to run an AT event, like we've always said, let us know if you need help. We'll provide you with the packs that we run and stuff and see if we can get you started. Just give us a credit in what you're doing. But yeah, we kind of floated the idea of whether or not we do Allegiance Imperialis event next year, and whether or not it's kind of like half LI, half AT, or like just LI or just AT. Yeah. I think we're going to have to do something with LI next year. But we stuck out a feedback form and sent it round to everybody. And if you did attend Beachhead and you've not filled out the Google form to let us know kind of your opinion and your feedback, then please follow the link in the email I would have sent to you and let us know your feedback so we get a good coverage. I think last time I checked, we were over 50% of people who'd attended who provided feedback, which was amazing. But it is obviously good to have as much as possible. But it was overwhelmingly positive, what we've got so far, which is always great to see. And overwhelmingly as well, people were like, I want to play AT. I'm not here for LI. So I think it would be tricky at this point for us to kind of reduce the size of the AT event. I think we're going to have to see what we do over the next year and plan for Beachhead 2025 to be equally as big on the AT side and somehow also run a separate
LI
event as well.
Oh, we're going to need a lot of mats.
Yeah, going to need a lot of mats. Or find a way that people can... I mean, to be honest, we didn't provide all of the mats this time as well. We relied on some very good friends across the community who turned up and helped provide a few tables worth. Like I say, we always try and provide all of the material ourselves, but you know, we can cater for 30 people, but when you start kind of pushing 50, that's a lot of terrain to store and a lot of mats to buy. But yeah, it was, I guess we've got a whole year to worry about that. I think this year, though, we should probably plan in advance for Beachhead 2025.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, get that planned down as early as possible. Because I think we need to do another rewrite of the score sheets, maybe.
Oh, every year we say this. Every year we forget about
some wording in the sheets. And update the objectives as well.
You were going to write us an app, weren't you?
I said I was going to, I'm going to put it in the list. Unfortunately, when you're a developer as a job, you don't want to do it in your spare time.
Yeah.
But no, I do really want to put an app together because it will just take away so much of the ineligible. What's the word for it? Not inintelligible. Illegible.
Illegible. Unintelligible as well.
Unintelligible. Yeah, that pretty much works for it as well. just scribblings and scrawlings on them. I feel like I've just found a clue in a Call of Cthulhu RPG whenever I, like, on some of these score sheets, like, people are doing
some. Is this written in Elder Speech?
Divine mathematics when we're just asked for how many points they've got in the fucking round.
and not only that, but we even had instances where people were, through no fault of our own, just inputting the wrong scores.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, by the way, that one that I provided you was wrong. I was like, okay, we'll check that. Okay, you're very lucky. That doesn't actually change something, but please get it right in the future.
Yeah.
We were so lucky that when that happened, it didn't impact anything. Mm. But potential there, right? But human error is always going to creep in.
Always is, yeah.
But yeah, I think Matt is going to do another one of his articles for the Beachhead Meta Watch, hopefully soon. It was an interesting tournament, actually. There was a lot less Ferox than I was expecting. They were still there, still quite king, but a lot more heavy maniples this year compared to previously, I noticed, around the tables. A lot more Regias, a lot more Extergamus,
a lot more Warlords. Yeah, just a lot of Warlords everywhere. I'm a fan. Yeah. I love Warlords. And that's sick.
The missiles seem to be making quite a big appearance. I think that was what was driving the Regia's popularity quite a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I'm interested to find out myself as well, because I'm going to be doing my first Regia. I have got... I've just started painting up my new Legio for the next event that I'm running.
You're making me want to do one.
Yeah. Mr. Krytos, it's not because I'm gamey. It is, well, a little bit. I do love
it. Don't lie. God, that's why you're here, mate.
I love the Krytos colour scheme, but they also happen to be quite good with swarmers and shudders and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that is filth. That is Jesus.
But I've also raided my box of Adeptus Titanicus premium basing kit sprues, also known as Legionis Imperialis infantry sprues. And chucked a few of those on as well, and some ruins. I'm going to probably regret the fact that I put some of the plastic ruins on those bases, because when I'm trying to find
terrain
yeah. later on, I'm like, okay.
I'm having the same mental conflict at the moment with my warhounds. I'm like, do I take some of the ruins, or how many is too many to take before I start losing scenery?
I went with the little bits, which would probably only be good enough for scatter, because we can always do something with that later on.
Good though, doesn't it?
I'm pretty happy, yeah. But yeah, they're going to be a Krytos Regia, just because I wanted to try out the missiles as well. Seemed like a good option for taking it. But Psy Titan won again. Fair play to Jay, who ran the Psy Titan list. He was the only one this year, though, who brought one. I think he considered it very much like, if I don't bring one, then somebody else is going to bring one.
Yeah.
And then nobody else brought one. But
very surprising that it was rarely not bought, really, at all.
Yeah. But he did very, very well. He still had a few couple of tough games. He actually beat Stu, who has won before, despite the fact that Stu tabled him.
Yeah.
So, which was incredible, really. The way that we work our events is sometimes it's like the annihilation rules are a little bit kind of flaky and confusing as to how that works with the new match play guide. It's never really been clarified since the original book, so we've always played you score what you could reasonably score in the turns left to you. And I think that because of the turns, because of the objectives which were held and the objectives that they had taken, I think that Jay won by something like 6 points or something. It was really, really tight. It was like one of them had, I think they both had, what's the one where you got to defend your board edge?
Oh, shit.
That one. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Or push forwards or something, and it just couldn't quite. They both were, neither of them got full points, and they were, yeah. So that was otherwise Stu would have probably won again if that hadn't happened. So it's amazing to see how only 6 points kind of stood in the way. But
I think that's a sign of
congratulations.
You can be wiped off the board.
Congratulations to Jay.
Yes.
Who won the Grandmaster Award as the top player, but his team as well, Twisted Spear. Was it Spear? Spear. Sword? They had two teams, Twisted Spear, Twisted Sword.
Yeah. It was Spear, right?
I think it was Spear, yeah. Either way.
Sorry, guys.
Two Twisted Titanicus teams. Twisted Spear, let's call them Spear, consisted of a guy called Alex, Jay, and Simon, who they had a near perfect run at the top and clinched first place. Who was it? I've totally forgotten who else came in second. Second was that Imperian Union, the guys from Finland,
mm-hmm.
and Titan Boner Club in third.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I believe it was. It was nice to see the Finnish guys walk away with some glassware in their bags as they flew back to Finland and Sweden. And they all, again, seem to have a really good time of it. Interestingly, though, the person who won the Best Sport was the same guy who won Best Sport last year, Howard T of the Imperial Truth podcast. So, it was great seeing Howard again. It was he seemed to have a good time of it. He was there with Greg from the Imperial Truth as well, as well as their mate Ant, forming the Imperial Truth team. And he I've not played against Howard yet, but he obviously is.
Yeah, I really want to.
A great guy to play against because everybody seems to vote him up as being a really good opponent. So,
hell yeah,
yeah. All right, are we done with Beachhead?
I think we are. Everyone got sick afterwards as well. The old
I didn't
con flu. The nerd rot.
I was good.
Oh god, that was fucking awful.
I'm blaming Stuart on that because he was fucking hanging at the time as well, and then everybody got sick afterwards with like chest infections and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm blaming Stuart. It's your fault.
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
I don't know how I avoided it.
No,
because you were hanging. Weren't
you? I was. Oh yeah, not good. And then my fiance caught it. And just 2 weeks of hell.
I think it was maybe I'd built up an immunity with the amount of farts that I seemed to inhale over that weekend.
I mean, like, you're the creator of like 50% of those, so I don't know how much you can fucking say.
Beg your pardon. I beg your pardon, but that was my only criticism of the event. There were some bloody gassy individuals, not necessarily like around our tables. No. Like, it wasn't around the tournament hall. Like, normally tournaments smell of men with, you know, BO problems. Mm-hmm. Historically speaking, that when I've attended them in the past, it's like walking into a thick smog of underarm smell.
Yeah, you literally walk into it. It's like a wall of smell normally. I was really surprised this year. The gaming hall, as in general, was actually not too bad. Usually there's
It's because that gaming hall, though, is really well air-conditioned, which definitely helps. But I also think that our group of players, a little bit older, understand hygiene.
Very true. I don't think it's an age thing. I don't know. I've seen some crusty-ass individuals that were pottering around that event.
Maybe they're just a little bit more kind of socially...
We're just the cool kids. Titanicus players are just the cool kids, and that's why. Remember,
cool
guys,
elites,
cool kids wash.
Snobby bastards. Right?
Cool kids use deodorant. Use deodorant, take drugs, you're good.
in the first, was it the first beachhead we ran or the second one where I brought a can of community
Lynx Africa.
Just in case. It's like, no shame, no judgment. It's there if you want to use it.
It's like being in the school locker room again.
But no, it was when you went into the trader hall.
Oh,
like, and you walked around there. It was just this all pervasive smell of farts.
For the amount of candles and like other cute Etsy shop items all over the place, which I absolutely loved. You'd think it would smell a lot better, but someone obviously had just like repeatedly shit themselves in that trader hall that weekend.
I mean, to be fair, the food which was sale was not the greatest. I had possibly the worst burger that I have ever seen in my life.
You had to remortgage your house for it as well.
I mean, I'm not selling the wider convention here.
No, Beachhead is incredible.
It was really good.
But fuck BIC for their food prices.
Yeah, I got really excited because it was a burger and the BIC had called it Beef for the Beef God, Mac for his throne.
Insane, right?
Like, I was like, great. And it was like a beef burger with like a mac and cheese bite inside it and pulled pork.
Perfect.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
That's every Warhammer player's dream item right there, right?
Absolutely sold. Yeah. When I unwrapped it... It was in this squid ink black bun. And I was like, okay, have I been given like a vegan option or something here? Because like, this isn't like kind of a normal looking burger. I don't know why they decided to be fancy that weekend because nobody would have appreciated that. It's just give me a burger in a bun. That's all I want. And it was for something with like pulled pork and, you know, mac and cheese. It was the driest thing I think I have ever eaten in my entire life. It was horrendous.
Historically quite wet food options, and yet... Chalk.
Yeah. Awful. Awful. I mean, I probably sacrificed part of my soul to the dark gods in its consuming...
Just to pass
by
it.
Consuming this thing. Yeah. I mean, I was certainly, like, the following morning, yelling off a few curses and a few damning Nurgle, let's just say, the following morning.
Yeah, but, I went to pick up all of a lunch from the queue when it got quiet. Picked up just like two burger things. And they were like, oh yeah, it's 21 quid, please. I was like, oh yeah? Wait?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the next day I realized that hot dogs were a lot cheaper and actually a lot more edible. And I think you could get two hot dogs for the same price as a burger and chips. But other than that, Beachhead was awesome. If you just discount the crappy food and the farts. Yep. But the rest of it was great.
That is the worst. That is the worst advertising for fucking Beachhead I've ever... Beachhead was great if you discount the crappy food and the farts. That should be their fucking tagline for next year, Alex. Jesus. What are we doing? We're sabotaging one of the few relationships we have.
Oh, shit, yeah. No, backtrack, edit this
out.
It
was great. It was genuinely great. It just It was a little bit stinky.
Yeah, we are kind of mis-selling it at this particular point.
It's fine. We're tired. It's late. We're grumpy.
Yeah, there was tons of stuff there as well, though, wasn't there? There was the Titan Owners Club were there with their big Titans, and Lee Marshall, Forge Mars, he came down on the Saturday to see us and brought a load of his Ordax with him, and we did like a walk of Legio Ordax where we got like half of the Legio together on one table. And we ended the event on the Sunday in our usual fashion, got everything out, everyone's Titans all out for a photo, and made the tournament hall shake with our Scream Avenging Kill to mark the end of the event, which was very satisfying. Every year, I need us to be louder than the 40K players.
It's like they David brought a PA versus system. Goliath, isn't it?
Yeah. They brought a PA system. The next year, I bought a bigger PA system. they started playing like sounds over their PA system. I brought a war horn. And I thought I'd really done myself proud this year. I had like automated like 30-minute reminders and end-of-round noises. Mm-hmm. And then when I actually came to use it, it just wouldn't work. I was so gutted.
Worked the night before when we were there setting up and testing everything.
Yeah.
And then
very very strange. But no, it was great fun. Thank you so much to everybody who attended. Obviously, you are the reason that we enjoy it as much as we do. We will continue to do more, and I guess watch this space for our future events. That's it, I think, Johnny. I think we are at the end of this session today. We'll try not to leave it too long until the next one.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
I think we're going to try and do the thing next, aren't we, for the next podcast?
The thing?
The thing with the tier thing.
Oh, one of those things. Yeah, maybe.
We might do another tier list episode.
Yeah. People love that shit.
And it might finally be the traitor Legio's ranked.
Oh, people are going to hate us so much after it as well.
You've only been asking for it for 2 years. I think we're finally going to do it. I think I just need to sit down with a pen and get it done. Mm-hmm. I think we will try and get that done over the next coming weeks, and we will try and get you the tier list episode. I think there's going to be quite a few caveats in that. I think we need to say that it's going to be a tier list episode, not including corruptions or how good Legios are with corruptions, because they throw in far too many variables to account for every single possible solution.
I don't know if I agree with that. Okay, yeah. So we can talk.
Well, you know what it does, though? It gives us another reason to do another tier list episode in the future, which is the corruption tier list.
All right. I'll take that.
See? Yep. I've got you back.
Businessman, right there. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, do remember to give us a like and subscribe. We are just underneath 1,800 subscribers at this point, which is phenomenal. It would be great for us to be pushing 2,000. You know, if you know somebody who's getting into AT or LI, throw them in our direction. You know, sign up your children's YouTube accounts to Maximal Fire. Anything to drive those numbers up and subscribe and subscription numbers. Create false accounts and do it. We don't care. We're not fussy where it comes from. Just help us get to 2K. Mm-hmm. I guess then, Johnny, just one more thing to say. And you know what that is? It's to go big, go loud. Remember to bring yourself some Lynx Africa to a tournament hall if you ever go to an event.
Yeah, and that. Let's go to bed.
All right, darling.